Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. podcast. This is of the radio show for May 2nd, hour number one. Thanks for tuning in. We are going to talk about so many different things. You know, maybe you bought that house and you found a bunch of hidden problems. How do you tackle it? Can you go after the inspector? What are the things that you can do to get this house better? What's important and what's not? We're going to talk about this all in this show. I want you to tune in and then catch hour number two, where I'll be talking with Dave Dahl from Dave's Killer Bread, the founder, and how he's helping people out and getting them back into the trades again and helping them get to a better life. All this and more. I'll quit talking. Let's get to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Bodder.
Man, it's been a fun week this week. We've been getting a lot of stuff done on social media and everything else.
Online, kind of in general.
Yeah. Hey, join us in the studio here. We want to always get your call, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. And if you have any questions on the show, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com.
And just hit that contact us button at the top and...
We have that fixed now.
An email will, I promise, get to us that way.
Okay, so any of you that have messaged us on that contact us list, some of those emails have been going into a, quite frankly, an unknown spam filter that we were not aware of until about 10 minutes ago when somebody reached out to us and went, hey, I sent you a message, and we went, huh?
Haven't gotten a message.
Didn't see that one. So technology sometimes can be so much fun. But that's a good way to message us over there. We get so many verses in the social media, and we do get a lot of spam from you know, agencies from other countries and stuff like that that are reaching out that we just don't really do much with. But make sure you message us. You can message us there anywhere on social media. Well, we got a fun show ahead. We had a lot of great listeners last week to the show, and we even had some network issues out there that created some dead air on some radio networks out there. So we apologize, and we have those technical difficulties resolved, or so we hope. So thanks for listening, everybody. Well, if you ever miss the show, though, and you want to catch the show, maybe, you know, we have some stations that grab us a little bit late in the day and things like that, and we'll message us later on the show as well. But make sure you catch the podcast, which is Around the House. And you can catch that anywhere out there that you listen to podcasts. So if you want to catch it in an easy space, just go over to Around the House with Eric G on social media, or just go to Around the House online and you can catch it and subscribe right there.
Well, and you know, one of today's topics is going to be a continuation of last week's topic. So if you didn't catch last week's show, head over to the podcast, check that out, and then or you know, finish listening to this and then go back or listen to both on the podcast later on.
You got it. So today we're going to be talking about, okay, so you bought that house and then you realized there were a bunch of problems in it that maybe you weren't completely aware of, maybe you were slightly aware of, maybe you just had no idea. And that's what we're going to talk about here in hour one. And then hour number two, we've got a fun interview. So if any of you out there in the Northwest, you're going to know this brand, and across the country now, because it is a nationwide brand, but Dave's killer Brad, Dave Dahl, who's a longtime fan, you know, fan of ours in the show here, and he's listened to the show here as well. He's a Portland native here, but he created this really healthy bread. But as a, you know, ex-convict, he went around and had those struggles in life, started his own bread company at age 43, if you think about that.
Wow.
And then turned around and made it into this behemoth of a healthy bread company. And then he's turned around now and he's helping people get into the trades, and he's got a charity that he works with. So we've got a great interview coming up here in the next hour. And anybody out there wanting to get into the trades and you want to help out people that are maybe down on their luck that are getting into the trades, we're going to talk about that in hour number two.
It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. It's a compelling story, and I love Dave with that. So anyway, let's talk about this. So let's say you went out and bought a house, and you've got it, and all of a sudden you realize it. I mean, this happened to my, something went wrong. My buddy Scotty just happened with his parents' house. And this was a huge problem. They bought a house, went through the inspection process. The former owners had been there for a decade.
Okay. And they lived there.
Yeah. The people had been living there, and went to go tear the carpets up to put in the, you know, laminate floors out of this 1960s, 70s home. And realized there was a ton of rot issues.
Ooh.
I mean, there were rotten floors. There was concrete broken. There was a slab on grade. It was a thousands of dollars mess to fix it.
Yeah, no, because you're tearing everything up. And yes, the financial burden, but also the strain that it puts on you as somebody living there trying to take care of this at the same time.
So what happened was is the inspector didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't something that, like, they moved in and 6 months later. They bought the house, closed it. Construction crew came in and days later found this.
Oh, wow.
So this is not your normal, hey, I started digging into a wall and there was a bunch of hidden stuff. No, this is one of those where you dive into it and go, oh, man, we just, like, got the keys Tuesday and it's Friday kind of thing. So they dove in and looked at it, and quite frankly, even though that there had been repairs made within the last decade while the people owned it and it put carpet over the top of it, technically it didn't violate any of those disclosure rules. It didn't violate any of those things where there was not much you could do about it.
Okay.
And that's where those things get caught, because it was rot. There had been some water damage, but trying to prove that in a court of law,
that the owner knew about it beforehand.
Yeah, that it wasn't just, you know, maintenance and repairs,
mm-hmm,
that didn't go well. That's where that gets interesting is there are many times as a homeowner, you're going to spend more money chasing down those issues. Great example. I had a kitchen client that I had designed a kitchen for 15 years ago up in Tacoma, Washington. And 1890s house, and they had bought it a few year or two earlier. And they'd only had it for a couple of years. We did a kitchen. So he started doing his own DIY, started sanding on the hardwood floors, and realized as he was sanding that he kept getting worse burn marks in the floor. And there had been a crawl space fire.
Oh.
Yeah. It had really weakened the supports. We wondered why there was a bow in this building, because literally the kitchen was off by, as we went to go install cabinets in there, kitchen is off by about 4 inches.
As it warped.
As a warp. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. I had not looked down there and in the crawl space. He had, but it had been all drywalled over in this, like, little basement thing.
Covered
it was
up.
Quote unquote finished. Well, what happened was there had been a crawl space fire, and that had been hidden. And you know why? Because the guy was an electrician and he had rewired the house
on his own, and
he had drilled through all this wood to put the wiring in, and then had said that the house had not been through a fire in his knowledge, so he had not disclosed that.
I wonder why there was a crawl space fire.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a whole other thing. Why he fixed it? Well, of course, there was an electrical issue probably down there, caught on fire. He fixed it and then hid the damage and didn't fix it correctly. So that one there, he went back to the realtor. They went back, and the guy was still around. And they came up with a solution where he provided building materials for the guy to fix it. But he had to tear the whole floor up. And the good news was we could fix that 4-inch problem with the floor at that point.
Yeah.
But these are things that you've got to be really careful of. And these are the things that when you dive in, there might not be any recourse. And it doesn't even matter if you've got a building inspector or any kind of an inspector involved in this. In most cases, and in almost every state, they're liable, like we talked about last week, that inspector is liable for the $300 to $500 you paid them to do the work. So if they miss a $10,000 piece, you might get your price of the inspection refunded, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the tough part with these kind of things. And this is why sometimes you want to make sure, and if sometimes with people, if they're throwing out that, hey, we're going to give you a free home warranty, take it. Is part of the process. It's not a bad thing because that can help
protect you
over time. Yeah, some of those things, especially if you've got some older stuff like older appliances, older, you know, HVAC system, older water heater. Sometimes that'll at least get it going, and then you can talk about replacing it all later. We'll talk more just as soon as Rem Ash returns. Around the house with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, it's been an interesting time here with all of our social distancing and all this stuff that we've been trying to do out there, keeping people apart. And I'm happy though that Washington State got back to construction this last week.
Yes.
So that's good for those guys. And I know Pennsylvania was coming back this week too. So more and more people are getting back to work.
It seems like we're coming out the other side of the tunnel.
A little bit, and I like it. Hey, if you want to join us, make sure you head over to head over to the website. That's the best way to find everything. AroundTheHouseOnline.com, and you'll have videos. You'll see my blog. You'll see our store. You'll see the Contact Us page. You can listen to the podcast from there. It's kind of your all-in-one stop for us.
You can also go ahead and check out the Facebook page, though, Around the House with Eric G. We also have a private group that we have set up for you to basically show off your projects, ask for questions. It's called Around the House Nation. You're going to have to search that in your Facebook search bar, ask to join, and we will, about 99% of the people we approve because they look like real people. That's all we ask. So, and then we'll bring you in and just, share, have a good time. We put up some jokes and some memes and
we have a good time with it.
It's fun.
We have a good time with it. So that's all good. It's all good. Well, so we've been talking about, what happens when you buy that house and something goes sideways, like in you bought it, you moved in and went, oh man, this doesn't work or that doesn't work. And one thing I want to talk about is for a second is like home warranties. Those can help, limit your damage somewhat. But here's the thing. So many people go, I got the home warranty. When my air conditioner quits, I'm going to get a whole brand new air conditioner. It doesn't usually work that way. These guys that have these, home maintenance warranties that you get when you buy a house and maybe the seller's putting it in there to make you feel good about the old stuff that's in there. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, and it does cover it, but it will fix repairs. So if you've got a 25-year-old furnace that is well overdue for replacement, they're going to throw a lot of parts at that before they actually replace it.
Before they actually tear it out. Yeah.
The only time you're going to see it tear out is if it's cheaper to do that. Basically, you're going to get a bunch of new parts. So if you buy the house and go, oh man, that roof's almost done, got a warranty for that. Hey, that appliances or that range is almost toast, I'm going to get some new stuff out of it. Wrong attitude at that. This is going to keep things working, But in many times, it does not replace it unless what goes out is something that's not replaceable. And many times, these things have something replaced. Now, a refrigerator gets the point where maybe that part can't be got again or something like that. Maybe they'll get you a new one. But most cases, I haven't seen the replacement thing. I've seen the repair and parts go.
Well, and do they typically replace with, say, a new model? Like, do you typically get something? I mean, because you were just like, oh, well, maybe you'll get something. Is it actually typically something
new? Yeah, it's new. That's new out of a box. But it's really rare that that happens because, you know, many times with refrigerators and washers and dryers and ranges, it's simple stuff that breaks.
Yeah.
You know, they can go in and put in a new transmission on a front load washer for almost the price of putting a new one in, but they'd rather put the parts in than replace the whole unit.
Yeah.
So that's the way they're going to lean. So just remember when you're out doing that house buying stuff, that that's going to be one of those things where they're going to lean that way. So don't expect with your expectation that that's going to be the fix-all.
You'll get it fixed. Yeah. When you get a home warranty, like you said in the last segment, for a lot of people, they could be very good to have. It's just temper your expectations a little bit about what you're going to get out of that.
Yeah. It's still an insurance company, and they're going to do what they have to do. Yeah.
This for them.
Yeah. That's just how it's going to work.
It's business.
It is. And you just got to have that expectation. Well, one of the things that I want people to really pay attention to, and this is one of those things that when you're moving into a new house, there are two things that I think, actually three things that I think are hot topics that I want you to really pay attention to. And especially if you've got that house that you bought and you start having problems, because sometimes these things don't come up. But when you've got electrical problems, maybe it's a breaker that keeps clicking off, or even more importantly, you've got that GFCI outlet in the bathroom, that no matter what, you plug your hairdryer and it clicks off. You just have those kind of problems where things are clicking off and you're like, what's going on? You need to realize that those things,
there's a reason for it.
Well, they're replaceable parts. Those, a GFCI outlet that's maybe in your garage or a bathroom or a kitchen, those have a lifespan of about a decade.
Okay.
Maybe more, maybe less. But the thing is, oh, here we go. The truck going by. We are at the open air studio. Yep. This is that flex space we got here at the workshop. And when it's nice like it is today, we can open up the garage door and have a little sunshine. But you'll hear a Harley go by or a work truck or
adds ambiance.
Yeah, it might be the UPS driver. Who knows? So, well, here's the thing. Those outlets are replaceable. And what happens is that they wear out. And in time, what happens is that you end up having them where they click off. And I want that to be the first thing you look for when you have a dead outlet in the house. Because so many times, I mean, it's my question to answer percentage on this one with questions over the last number of years to around the house, 90% of the time, it's a GFCI outlet problem where they're like, hey, my garage outlet doesn't work, or my kitchen or my bathroom or outside outlet doesn't work. You have an outlet that is hiding someplace that has a GFCI in it, and you need to go on the hunt and find it. And that can be the hard part.
I was going to say that could be somewhat difficult, but
we have had many a phone call into the show where somebody was trying to track it down. Hey, my Christmas lights are down.
Oh, or that's, you know, like what I mean? Worst time for that to happen.
Yeah.
Too.
And it's just that it's hiding someplace. So it could be behind a fridge. And no, they're not really designed to be running appliances through those. They're meant to be, you know, to stop somebody from getting electrocuted. But big motors like on refrigerators and things like that are not the best.
No, they typically run off something.
You want to have your own dedicated circuit for those. Yeah. So that's the thing with that. But make sure, because that's one of those just little gotchas that so many people will pay. They'll chase around the house. I can't figure it out. And there's the problem. We'll talk about more of those problems just as soon as we're around the house.
Angelina, and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Now I'm getting thirsty. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric T. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. A little farewell, Angelina.
Good friends of the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hey, join us in the studio here because a couple ways you can get a hold of us. AroundTheHouseOnline.com is a good way. And then hit us up over Facebook at Around the House with Eric G. And then Around the House Nation is our closed group. And that's where you can really start sharing up those projects. And what I'm going to start sharing up my, haven't done much on it recently, but I'm going to start sharing up my shed project I've been working on.
I was about to say, it seems to be sheds are kind of big right now. We've had a couple people post up some outdoor shed projects. It's been cool to see those.
There's some good stuff out there. And I do like even... we've had the squirrel bench is seeing people doing, which is the picnic bench for squirrels with the corn on it. Thought that was kind of cool. There's a lot of good stuff out there. So hit us up over there on Around the House Nation. Just ask once you get on there, like it, and, ask to be part of it. And if you look like a real person, we'll let you in.
Yeah, as long as you don't have a Facebook profile that was made in the last week with no profile pictures and no friends, at which point I'm going to deny you my apologies.
Exactly. So that's what that's about. Now, give us the numbers here.
Our number here in the studio, give us a call with any of your home improvement questions, 971-233-8992. The way that works is you're going to leave a message with your name and your question, and we will call you back, we'll record it, and we will put you in the show.
Thanks. All right. We're going to have some fun with that. And make sure when you're done listening to the podcast out there, leave a review. We need some reviews on that. So anybody that's a podcast listener out there, sharing and reviews are huge for us. So.
Yeah, we've only had a couple, I think, in the last month or last few months.
Yeah. So we could use a little bit of love that way as well. So, all right. We've been talking about, when you buy that house and then, last week we talked about, okay, what can you do to try to prevent those projects, problems before you buy the house? Now we're kind of talking about the after. You've already bought the house. You're already committed. You're a homeowner.
You've got the keys.
Now you got some problems. So
with those keys come problems.
Yeah. Well, talking about keys, this is one thing that I want you to do if you just bought a house. And we didn't talk about this last week. This is another one of those solid tips that I want to make sure everybody does. When you buy the house, what's the first thing you should do besides make sure your insurance agent has all the information, which usually goes to the closing?
If you're asking me, you're asking the wrong person.
I know. See, this is why, because you're not the homeowner yet. So what's the first thing I want you to do? I want you to change the locks. I want you to put new locks on the doors. All exterior doors, new locks.
You just don't know. I mean, a previous owner could have had keys made.
Go upgrade your locks around the house. Go spend, a few $100. I will tell you, what you pay for a lock is what you get. If you buy a $30 front door lock and you buy a $300 front door lock or a $700 front door or $1,000, you get exactly what you pay for.
Okay. So where is that nice middle ground where you're not spending too much money, but you're getting a good quality? How much are you going to spend?
Well, and I guess it also comes down to what you expect out of it.
Okay.
If you buy that $50 or $100 front door lock set and it gets a lot of weather, like it gets sun, it gets all the things that beat up on a metal finish, that's only going to last you a few years because the finish is going to come off, it's going to start corroding, it's going to start looking nasty, and you'll end up throwing it away. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's pretty well protected and you're fairly light duty on it, you might be able to get away with something like that for a little while. But the other part is you get less security with these as well.
Well, see, and that's not something, at least personally, I'd want to compromise. So I would think maybe a $200 to $300 set, like, is that typically?
Yeah, that's where you start in there. Okay. I'll be honest, getting into... the high-end quick set or getting into the entry-level Baldwin is kind of where I like to be.
That little sweet spot in there.
You can buy a Baldwin Hardware lock set at Home Depot and Lowe's off the shelf, mm-hmm. and they're kind of entry-level for those guys. And again, this is like buying an entry-level Mercedes. This is not like buying an entry-level Kia. If you want to compare cars, yep. It's you've got something that's got a lot more brass in it, a lot less plastic, and a lot less pop metal. So those are things that, Great example. When you shut a door with a $39 lock, it kind of just goes click, and it's a rattly, not awesome close. Yeah. When you put in on that same exact door a really nice door lock, it closes in a sexy kind of way. It just goes, and it's just there's some beauty to the. To the sound of that, and you can tell the quality between those two. So yeah, I mean, get the best you can afford. I mean, if this is your first house and you don't have $500 or $600 to go out and spend, I get it. But I would sure put the money in. If you had to pick a door to put good money in, I would make it sure it's the busy one, which is either going to be your front one or your garage one.
Yeah.
That's where most people go through. So put the better lock there. And quite frankly, these days, there are some great locks that you can put in that are touchscreen, that you can run remotely, that you can do. I mean, if you've got kids coming in after school, to be able to unlock the door from them while you're at the office and they forgot their key at school, maybe in the gym locker.
Or lost it.
Yep. Lost it. You can let them in from the front door. That's kind of cool. And those are things that these days really aren't that expensive to add to. They nice. Just really aren't. So those are things that I would recommend on a front door lock. Just... The problem is that, you know, the realtor had the keys, you know, other homeowners had the keys. A lot of people had keys to your house before you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting here right now, listening to this going, I didn't do that. Might want to go out and do that now.
Well, especially when, like what you were saying, is like understanding someone might not have $500, $600, especially after they just bought a house. But, you know, if you've been somewhere for a couple of years now and you're like, oh, I never did that. Could be something you could tackle, and it's a fairly easy DIY.
Yeah, and you could always call a locksmith, have them come out and rekey it too. If you like, oh man, I love my locks. Don't change them.
Oh yeah,
have them rekeyed. They all can be rekeyed like that. You know, especially some of those the Kwikset ones. They have new ones now that you can use, especially if you've got rentals, where you could actually swap the key out, and you could actually by putting this little piece into it, you could actually put the right key in. Take another Kwikset key that you want to key it to, and you could actually, it'll rekey itself. So let's say you've got 10 different keys for apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you've got a 10-plex, or you've got a bunch of different rentals. You can rekey that to any one of the different ones out there.
Okay.
So if you've got a bunch of different keys like that, you can go, oh, here's your new key. Changed it. And you can do it in 2 minutes on the front of the door.
That's actually... kind of cool
super
technology.
Smart, yeah. For rentals and stuff. Yeah, if you're going to be doing rentals and those kind of things, that's one of those things that you just got to be really bit careful with, you know. And I think right now we're going to start seeing a couple things. I think we're going to start seeing here with all these times changing. And you know, we talked last week with a bunch of different people on our interviews, but what I'm worried about is coming out of this, I think we're going to see on the backside of this a few less single family home rentals versus apartment complexes and duplexes and triplexes and apartment complexes. I have a feeling that people out there that said, I'm going to get into the rental business. So I'm going to save up. I'm going to buy two or three houses. I'm going to have those be residual income.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to work awesome for me. I have a feeling here, especially with what we're seeing in the Northwest, and maybe not so much in other states, but I think that you're going to see a few of these people going, I'm out of this rental business because my tenants, I couldn't evict them. They couldn't afford to pay it. And now they're in the hole 3 months for rent that they're not going to get. These people don't have any way to
pay
the back rent. And I think you're going to see as one of the kind of unfortunate consequences that you're going to see a few less of these rentals out there, which is going to give people some opportunities to buy some houses, especially if you're in a market where there was a lot of inventory. Right now across the country, there's not, because a lot of people pulled back and went, oh, I'm going to take my house off the market until this is over. Totally get it.
Absolutely.
Totally get it. So those are things that I think coming forward that you're going to see a few of those changes with. But I think for all you people out there that are looking to buy homes, I think it's going to lend to some opportunities on the very short term that it might throw some inventory back up in there. So I think that's going to be a good thing for all of us out there buying homes. We'll be back just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, this show's been going fast like it always does. Especially when I get off on tangents like that, talking about locks and stuff.
Getting cut off by the music.
I know it. That's the one thing with the radio show is that music comes in. It's like, I got to stop.
You can't talk anymore.
We got to pay some bills. So I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been having fun here talking about, you know, you bought that house and now you're trying to fix those problems that you found. And you know, wood rot is one of those things that you always find out there that you got to be a little bit careful with. And I've seen a lot of, there's some new products out there that work really well, but man, sometimes you just got to replace it. I was watching somebody that was going in and using, you know, there's epoxy fillers and stuff out there that work really well now. And there's things that convert the rotted wood into stuff that's much more durable.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you're losing a big piece of chunk of wood, you need to replace it.
Well, yeah, because you're losing that structural integrity.
Yeah.
By filling it with epoxy, you're not replacing that integrity.
Well, the problem, here's what happens though, is that you might try to carve out the rotten wood. But you got to think about rotten wood as like cancer.
Yeah.
Once it starts rotting, it just starts going. Yeah, it just starts going. And you can go in there. There are chemicals you can put in there that'll stop that rot and convert it over. But there comes a point where even epoxy, you're filling the hole and you're going to paint over the top of it. But the problem is that epoxy, if you have a lot of it there, expands and contracts differently than the wood does.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a problem eventually. It's not going to be a permanent fix. It might look good for a little while. And epoxy's hard, but the wood's going to separate away from it at some point.
So it's a placeholder for when you can get it replaced.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it to make it look good and clean it up because, you know, you got family coming over or something here after all this is done, and I get it. You're just trying to fluff and buff it. But when it comes down to it, you're going to have to replace it. You know, there are things that you can get away with. There are things you're not going to get away with. So be careful with those kind of things. And don't use it if you're going to be doing anything structural. Just don't. I mean, if it's rotten, tear it out, replace it. And that's one thing, too, that I want to talk about before we go out to break here, because I know it comes up quick. When you're talking exterior stuff, when you're talking about decks, when you're talking about pergolas, things like that out there, if it's been outside and it's wood and it's over 15 years old from what you can tell, it's probably near the end of its lifespan. And we talked about this a few weeks ago with decks, and again, this still relates today. Make sure when you buy that house that you're on top of that exterior maintenance, especially this time of year if you just bought one and it's closed. Get that fresh coat of paint on stuff. Make sure everything is caulked. I mean, and I talked about it again in the midweek special here a couple weeks ago. When it's pouring rain, when we get here in the Northwest, those spring storms that come through and they dump a bunch of rain, I was walking around my house. I went out and went for that great walk around the house, and all of a sudden I see one of my downspouts that goes into the ground, into the storm drain system. It's got a geyser going because it's plugged up down there, or it's overfilled, whatever that's going to. So I have to basically take that apart and clean it out. But I only found that because I went outside. I was like, oh, it's heavy rain, and I got to go.
Well, no, and that's a really good thing to get out and do is just check the water flow around your house, where it's coming down, if you're on a hill, or if it's streaming somewhere, where is it going? How is it leaving your home?
Look out of our studio here. You can see this hill that comes down. I mean, we drop about, from street level down to my house, about 8 feet, be my guess. And yeah, I have to watch out. I mean, when I moved in here, every time we had a big, heavy rain for the last 4 or 5 months we've been here, I went outside and just watched. Okay, where's water pooling? Where's it going? I realize in the front of my house, I've got to do a little bit of regrading out there because if I get something, if we had an ice storm and I had enough to close up one drain and then we get a heavy rain, I'm in trouble. I got water coming to the garage. So I need to create something that's going to divert that. And that'll be another Morgan de Oregon segment we're going to do. But I need to get on that because that's something that I need to make sure handles no matter what Mother Nature throws at us. So coming up here this next hour.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We've got Dave Dahl, and Dave is a legend around these parts. He is a great guy. He has turned his life around. He was,
multi-time felon, did a bunch of time, and then got into his family's bread business and created this healthy bread empire. How does that relate to home improvement? Because now he's helping people get into the trades. And we're going to talk about his charity that he works with and how they turn around and get people off the streets into a construction trade and helping fill that gap. And this is one of those hot subjects that you and I love so much.
Absolutely.
That we're going to dive into here. And this is one of those you don't want to miss. We're going to play a little bit of this interview now, but the whole rest of it will be on the podcast during the week. Stick around for hour number two of Around the House. I'm Eric G.
And I'm Dane Vaughn.
Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. We appreciate you listening. Now, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. That's the website where you can catch everything with Around the House and check us out on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And feel free to leave a comment. We'd love to see them. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.